Psalm 27, reading from verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, only this do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. For you have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Well, do keep that passage open in front of you. Do keep your Bibles open. Psalm 27. And let me begin by asking this question. What is your only comfort in life and death? This is the first question of the Heidelberg Catechism. A catechism is a series of questions and answers that were used by the church to help people grow in their faith, grow in their understanding of their faith. This was written in the 1500s, and it dives right into the deep end, doesn't it? Question one, what is your only comfort in life and death? Where do we turn for comfort in life and death? We've all had to answer this question. Whether we've really thought it through or not, we've all gone for answers to this question through our lives, turning to different things, thinking they will be our comfort. Where do we turn? We all turn somewhere. Psalm 27 would, I think, be a great answer to this question. We're going to look at this psalm over the next 2 weeks, verses 1 to 6 today, and then next week we'll come back to it and do the second half, 7 to the end. My prayer is that this will be of practical help to us in life and in death. That we will learn to sing this psalm ourselves. That this psalm will become our psalm. That our faith will make a difference in the face of trouble, both in life and in death. Psalm 27 is a psalm of David. That's all we're told in terms of context at the start. Do you see that underneath the heading, Psalm 27, of David? Sometimes we're told the situation, his circumstances for his psalms. This time we're not, it's silent. But he was in trouble. His life was under threat, certainly as we see later in the psalm. People were saying things that weren't true about him that were going to land him in trouble. He was most likely on the run. possibly near the beginning of his life on the run from Saul, possibly near the end of his life on the run from Absalom. But what shines through, particularly in the opening of this psalm, but also at the end, what shines through is his confidence in his current circumstances. That's what's captured in that first verse, a verse, I guess, which is a favourite of many of you. And if you don't know the rest of the psalm, you probably are familiar with verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The threat is real. The wicked are advancing, an army besieging, war is breaking out. The threat is bigger than David can control himself. And yet his confidence is unshakable. Look on to verse 2, when the wicked advance against me to devour me. It is my enemies and foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Bring it on, he says. I'm not scared. Do your worst. I'm secure. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. It's astonishing courage, isn't it? That David stands there and says, I'm secure. I'm safe. Where does that courage come from? Why does he have this calmness, this confidence, when really he should be terrified? Really he should be distressed? Where does it come from? And perhaps more importantly, can we have it? Well, the rest of the psalm takes us in that direction. Where does this come from, this confidence? And particularly the section we're looking at through to the end of verse 6 introduces a cycle, which is a helpful cycle for us. One will feed the other. Two things that David speaks of that we need to grab hold of this morning. I'm going to do them back to front, so we're going to jump verse 4, because verse 5 starts with the word for in the day of trouble. So this is the reason for why we can do verse 4. But let's look at verse 5. And the idea here in this cycle is that what he's telling us to do is to gaze at the gospel. Here's where we can find confidence and courage and calmness and comfort when otherwise we would be distressed. Gaze at the gospel. Look at verse 5. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hallelujah. What a saviour. Jesus can and will protect us on the ultimate day of trouble. That's what's coming into view here. On the day of trouble, the ultimate day of trouble, when we die, or when we face God as judge, Jesus will protect me. Jesus can protect me. I am secure in him. This is what communion helps us to understand, isn't it? Which we'll share in a moment. That visual reminder of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. What is guaranteed for us. We were thinking last Sunday evening about the helpfulness of the sacraments, these visual aids that the Lord Jesus has given us, baptism and communion, which help us to understand the gospel more. It involves our senses to draw them in to understand what the gospel does. Do come along tonight and the next 2 weeks in the evening to really make the most of what the Lord Jesus has given us to do, that help us in our faith, in our understanding of who he is and what he's done. The Heidelberg Catechism that I started off with, that question, what is your only comfort in life and death? The full answer to question one is this: that I'm not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and death, to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. That's a wonderful summary, isn't it, of the gospel? What Jesus has done for me. He has bought me. He has secured me. He holds me. I'm forgiven. I'm safe today and safe forever. He will protect me from the evil one. He will bring me through to life everlasting. Take time to gaze at the gospel. What is it we say we believe? What is it we say we're putting our trust in, our hope in? The gospel. Take time to take it in. Make time to take it in. Gaze at the gospel. And as we gaze at the gospel, that helps us also to gaze at the Lord Jesus, which is verse 4. Our desire for him, our desire to be with him, will grow. 1 thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. You see, we need verses 5 and 6 to help us with verse 4. If you were reading out this psalm and you got to verse 4, I guess most of us would falter. Is this really my heart's desire? If I was to ask God for one thing, would this be it? But if we dwell on verses 5 and 6, if we gaze on the gospel, if we understand what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, then verse 4 will be our prayer. Gaze at the Lord Jesus. Not simply know about Jesus. Not simply attend church. Not simply read the Bible and pray, but gaze at the beauty of the Lord. We do this with nature, don't we? You have what we describe as beauty spots or viewing points, places we can go to look at the view, to take it in, places we can go to stop, to sit, to gaze. Enjoying the mountain range, or the view of the sea, or the winding river. Finding pleasure in that moment and taking memories with us when we gaze. We can do it in art galleries, can't we? Sure, we can look up what a famous picture looks like on the internet or in a book, but when we go to a gallery, we can see it properly. We can see the detail, the texture, the brushwork, the scale. We can stop and gaze. And David says we can do this with the Lord. Look at and study and appreciate and revel in and enjoy. Jesus came as the image of God. The Bible tells us he's the exact representation of his being. Jesus himself said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we gaze at Jesus. Not his physical beauty, we can't see him literally, but as we read the words of scriptures with the Spirit's help, we see his character. We see his grace. We see his love. We see his mercy. We see his gentleness. We see his faithfulness. We see his courage. We see his sacrifice. Advent is a great time to do this. That countdown to Christmas, that countdown to his birth, it's a great time, a period of time to take time to gaze at the Lord Jesus. Why not commit to using Advent in that way? To make time to gaze at him. We're going to try and have a book available at the lunch next week that you'll be able to buy. Bring some money next week. A book called Repeat the Sounding Joy, which is a series of Advent readings. Here's what it says in the blurb about the book. Each day's reading includes a short reflection, a prayer, a carol, and space to journal, helping you to treasure the Lord Jesus in your heart in the hectic run-up to Christmas. That sound like something that's worth doing? Treasure the Lord Jesus in your heart. Do you treasure him in your heart? If so, you too can sing that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? My confidence isn't in me and my abilities and what I can do, it's in him. What he has done in the gospel. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Our big problem is that we often replace the Lord with something or someone else. Our hearts grab hold of or gravitate towards other things, other comforts. And so when trouble comes, we are distressed, we are anxious, we do fall apart. Because those things won't work. Those things aren't strong enough, aren't a place of safety. Will let us down. Will fail us. If it's not the Lord, what has your heart? You can measure that in different ways. Those of you with smartphones, just have a look later today on that page that you don't want to look at very often, your usage this week. It records it. What have you looked at most this week? How much have you looked at it? How much time have you spent on that phone looking at that thing? Is it Instagram or is it a website? Or what is it that's got your heart? Another way of asking the same question is, what is it you daydream about when you have those moments in the day? Or another question, what is the first thing you turn to in the morning? Or the thing that keeps you up past your bedtime at night? What are you gazing at instead of the Lord? What has your heart? when we pull them out into the open, we see how ridiculous they are. Maybe it's money. Maybe that's through your job or your work or your pension pot. Money is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's ludicrous, isn't it, when we say it out loud? But for some of us, that's true. Maybe it's your health. You know, that started to dominate. That's the big thing with the appointments and the medications and the things going on. And my health is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's not going to work. Maybe it's not your health. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's someone, your spouse or someone that you're drawn to or your children. My children are my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Stronghold of your life. We treasure them. We gaze upon their beauty. Then when the enemy rises, when war breaks out in the day of trouble, they can't save us. So we're afraid. We lie awake at night. We're gripped by anxiety and distress. No, says Psalm 27. No, says David, gaze at the gospel. What God has done for you in Christ. Use communion. Gaze at the gospel. Remember again. Just what he's done for you. Body broken, blood shed, future secured. Gaze at the Lord Jesus, your Saviour. His beauty. His character, his grace. Here is your only comfort in life and death. And it's enough. He's enough. If God is for us, said Paul in Romans, who can be against us? And let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. He came to reveal you, who came to save us. Father, help us to treasure, to gaze at, to understand the gospel more. We thank you for the gift of communion where we can do that, where we can spend time understanding what you've done for us in Christ. And Father, may that motivate us to spend more time gazing at the Lord Jesus, getting to know him. By your Spirit, would you help us to see him more clearly, to love him more dearly, to trust him, that in the day of trouble we will be secure, that we too can say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Father, we thank you that with Jesus we can have that comfort, that confidence, that peace. We thank you in his name. Amen.